And now, the time fight fans all across the globe have been waiting for. It's the main card with your man, The Voice. As always, in the opposite corner, my mano y mano, my verbal sparring partner, the man who reps Philly to the fullest, Iron Wildress Ruff. And I even gave you your nickname today.
I mean, I appreciate it. It seems like you're in a good mood, so I'm with that. It's smoke o'clock, as we always get down and do it. Let me give you your intro. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the man, the myth, the legend, the man with his own t-shirt. He got the halo above his head, but he don't want to be called Jesus. It's the Voice. Voice, how you doing, boss?
Hey, I'm good. I want to be like Jesus, but my name is not Jesus, nor is it Jesus Shuttlesworth. But yeah, I want to be like him.
So you're not Jesus?
Not Shuttlesworth. Not Shuttlesworth, though.
But you got game, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got game.
I'm with that. Man, we got an incredible show today. We got some good things to talk about. Some crazy off-the-wall things to talk about. We're going to talk about some of Voice's favorite boxers, including his man Tyson Fury. We got a UFC fight and a championship fight. And, of course, the sparks that fly during the pre-fight mantras that go on. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and get into this, Voice. KOs and low blows. Let's get it.
Yes, sir.
Now, first of all, Tyson Fury is getting to be a lot. But he recently shared that he will not be retiring soon and provided a 5-fight plan, declaring in a social media video, "I ain't going nowhere." Fury stated, "I keep hearing talk of people saying I should retire or I'm going to retire soon or whatever. I ain't retiring. I've got 2 fights with Usyk for the Undisputed twice. Then I'm going to fight AJ at least once, maybe twice, if there's a rematch. If he wants one after the first battering I give him, then I'm going to fight Ngannou again." And that's just the start. There's 5 little fights for you to whet your appetite with. "I ain't going nowhere. I'm 35 years old, and I'm in the prime of my life and ready to smash." Now, I want to make sure that we preface this to say this, that while he was doing the video, he had a dark row of stitches literally visible under his eye. So you take with that what you may. The last year kind of has not been kind to Tyson, so to speak. Voice, what are your thoughts on this? Should we expect all these fights to happen? But above all else, do we want all these fights to happen?
Let's take the last first. Do we want all these fights to happen? If Tyson comes in ready and prepared, yeah, I would love to see all of those fights with a prepared Tyson Fury. Then you ask, will it happen? That's what Tyson is saying today. Or I should say, that's what he said at that moment on social media. You catch him later in the day, it could be a totally different tune that the man is singing. So we know who Tyson Fury is. On again, off again, erratic behavior. That's part of why the boxing community and the sporting community in the world loves him, is because he's unfiltered and erratic. But you have to address him, or I should say, you have to take what he says, knowing the person that is coming from, and just how the wind blowing can change his perspective.
I mean, yeah, he's 35, but he doesn't look 35, boys. I mean, for being honest, it's not a knock on him. He's been through some battles, and he's gone through some things in life, and he's earned the respect of the boxing community. But do we really want to see all of these fights happen over time at 35 with the way that he's feeling right now is a question. I know that with the delay of the fight, there's been a guarantee put in for him and Usyk that if one of them ends up backing out, it's a $10 million penalty for them both. So we're guaranteed to get that fight in May to happen. I am a little worried about him fighting AJ twice. I'm not really sure if people are going to want to see that. But, I mean, like you said, he's giving boxing fans something to talk about, so you never know.
Yeah, you're right. You never know. And really, the only reason to fight AJ twice would mean that AJ was victorious. I guarantee you. He beats AJ, he's not fighting him again. The only reason he's talking about fighting Ngannou again is because it was such a poor outing and he's trying to make up for what happened. That's just Tyson talking. Because God honest truth, if Usyk does what we believe he'll do, that's probably it. You talked about how Tyson doesn't look 35. Well, with all the things that he's done to his body is not 35 either. Again, a lot of really good talk, which is right up Tyson's alley. But also pulling out of stuff is up Tyson's alley.
Definitely, definitely. It'd be interesting to see how that plays out. Excited for that. 2024 has been an exciting month so far because it's like a lot of guarantees of this and that and the other. And leave the Eddie Hearn to come out with another guarantee. Eddie Hearn recently stated that he's offered Tank Davis Conor Benn and state that it's a fight that if it happens, quote, it'll light up fans in the States and the UK. And he stated that he hopes to make it happen and he sent the offer over. He said that, you know, this is a fight that the people want to see. Now, Tank on social media, when they asked Tank about it, he said, sure, why not? Where would you like your whooping at, bro? Quote. Now, this is the fight. The fight will be between literally two undefeated fighters. And Eddie has literally come out and stated that, you know, because Tank has never fought at 147, it'll be a really tough fight for him. But he also stated that Conor has a size advantage in that fight, but it'll be even more of a difficult fight for Conor because of the type of fighter that Tank is. He said it'll be the first time in the last couple fights that he'll be fighting someone smaller than him, which can be a plus or it can be a minus. It all depends on what happens when they get into the ring. Now, Voice, we've talked about Tank and his power and the things that he's able to do over and over. What are your thoughts on this bout happening? And is it realistically a possibility that Tank would actually come up to that weight to make that fight?
What I think about the fight happening is it's boxing. And not only is it boxing, you have a Floyd Mayweather protege who is very astute at the business of boxing. It's interesting. As we were preparing for this, and I don't have the graphic, but Leonard Ellerbe was speaking about Tank and Devin. It's like, you know, Devin's at a whole different weight class. I mean, you know, why are we talking about this fight where Conor is at two weight classes above where Tank is currently? And he's like, yeah, I'll take it. Why would he take a fight with someone at two weight classes above? He would do it because he believes, based on the fight, which took place in Vegas the first week of February 2024 against Dobson, that based on that fight that he could whoop him, which is why I was like, okay, yeah, sure, we can do it. Where do you want the fight? Because this is nothing. And Tank has spoken about how he sparred 147 pounders before, how he sparred Gervonta Davis, you know, how he sparred with different people. I mean, not Gervonta Davis. I don't want to disrespect the man because I have a lot of respect for him, so I'm going to call him by his name. Sean Porter. Like, you know, I sparred with Sean Porter. I sparred with 147 pounders before. So, you know, this is nothing for me. Then why don't you fight Devin? You had a chance to fight him when you all had the same weight class and it didn't happen. And now that he's at 140, we're not talking about it. So, when we said last week, Devin shared, like, hey, I told you, give me the same deal you gave Ryan and you got to fight. Crickets, different weight class. This is a different weight class too. Different fighter.
Well, it's all about gamesmanship. One thing I do trust, I trust Leonard Ellerbe. And if he says it, I'm all for it. The thing that I'm liking about 2024 and how it's panning out is we're beginning to see people call people out to the point where it's like, listen, either you're going to get in the ring, you're going to retire, or you're going to do whatever you need to do. If we get this fight, it'll be amazing to get it in April, May, around the same time as we get Fury and Usyk. So that'll be a great first half of the year. And that's not even to mention the fights that we're planning to get from MMA. So that'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. Now we're going to take a quick break with Ozell, our amazing, amazing sponsor. And when we come back, we got a double card of showmanship and a UFC fight that is the Voices marquee matchup. I know y'all waiting for that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand. It's a lifestyle.
Awesome, awesome. Shout out to Ozell Brand, man. Make sure you're getting out, you getting your cleats, you getting all your knees. You can even get your regular shoes. Them Voices is out there. That's what we call them. Those them Royal Blues. And
make sure you, lady, compliment me on those today. I was coming on a quick trip and she was like, oh yeah, I saw you in there. You know, I saw them shoes. I like them shoes. Like, thank you. Ozell Brand, dope. Right here in made in Missouri by a black man.
Those them Voice Pepper Steppers. Excited for that. Shout out to the brand, man. Make sure you cop those. Now, Voice, a fighter that we have talked about consistently on this show is back at it. Teofimo Lopez has a master plan, and he does not care if you believe in it or not. He's looking to begin to set that in motion as the takeover meets the technician for the super lightweight title. When Lopez meets Jermaine Ortiz for the super lightweight title, that's going to be at the Michelob Ultra Arena in Las Vegas. Now, he's already talking super fights, Voice, and he's saying that he wants to see certain people next. While speaking to the media, Lopez stated that he wants to create a Conor McGregor-type success with major fights, naming the person on top of the list, Bud Crawford, Devin Haney, and George Kambosos. These are fights that he's hoping to happen. He said that, I told myself that since everyone is stuck on the do I still got it conversation and everyone already thinks that I'm crazy, let's psych all you guys into thinking I'm not ready for this fight. He talked about this last month on Morning Combat. Now, he said it worked out in his favor. Pretty much all the boxing experts had Josh Taylor winning this fight and not one had me winning. So it was great to give everyone else a humble pie and know how it tastes. Now we all can talk about and eat this humble pie together and relax. He will be preparing for a fighter that he previously met and defeated. This happened in the 2015 National Golden Gloves Tournament when he beat Jermaine Ortiz and became the Golden Gloves champion. Now, Ortiz is actually coming off a win in his only fight in 2023. That was against Antonio Moran after a 2022 loss to Lomachenko at MSG. Now, many would think, you know, Ortiz is coming into this bout. It's one of his first big bouts outside of Lomachenko, but he's not. He's coming into it confident, but he's calling his own shot. He stated, speaking about Lopez, back then he had a big nose. That's what I remember. And now he has a big mouth. So some body parts have changed on him, but he's still the same guy. I see myself winning by knockout. He said this calmly and confidently before doubling down when he was asked again by media if he's prepared to go the full 12 rounds. It's going to be a knockout. I see myself winning by knockout. And if he's prepared to do it, I'm prepared to end it all. Now, you got to ask yourself these questions, Voice, because not many people are giving Ortiz the chance to even come out as a winner. He's a heavy underdog in this fight. But what do you think, first, I want to ask this first question. What do you think about Teofimo Lopez's comments about the three big fights he wants to make, including calling out Bud Crawford?
I think that's great. I think that's great. If that's what you really want to do, do that. Those would be fights that would all draw. Kambosos withdraw because of the fact that he's trying to avenge a loss. Now, granted, do I think that Kambosos really stands a chance? No, I didn't think he stood a chance the first time. But we know, you know, and Tao didn't make any excuses, but we know that he was compromised. You know, like he really should not have been in there fighting. So to see him do the thing at full strength, that's interesting. Haney, we've been waiting to see that fight. And then everybody is going for the man that the so-called big fish said wasn't a big fish in Crawford. Like everybody's calling out Crawford and everyone wants to see what Crawford does next. So, yeah, I like him. I like all those call outs.
I mean, he literally stated, you know, he needs to go ahead and finish his business with Errol Spence and that he's next. One of the comments that he made was, Bud is on his way out and I'm on my way in. You have to remember, Lopez is 26. But when you got Jermaine Ortiz literally sitting there saying, listen, I'm going to knock him out. You almost feel like, okay, we get it, Teofimo. You want to shock the world. You want to be a showman. But you've got a fighter here who's seen you before, who knows how to prepare for you. And he's literally coming in ready because he wants his own mega fights. I think that's going to be interesting to see. Now, like we talked about earlier, Ortiz's only other loss was in that Golden Glove Finals to Teofimo. And that was during his amateur career. Now, Lopez, meanwhile, has had three straight wins since losing to George Kambosos in 2021, and that was including his title-earning win over Josh Taylor last June. So that's going to be interesting to see. Make sure that you all are following the voice on Twitter so you can get that feedback on there because it's guaranteed to be fireworks. In fact...
I'm sorry. I just want to say one other thing about the fight and Ortiz in particular. Knockout, brother. Of your 17 wins, you only got 8 knockouts. A little over 50%. No, that's not even 50, not over 50%. A little under 50%. Let's pump the brakes. Now, granted, is he confident? Yes, and I'm glad that he's confident. You said that Tao was that outside of his fight with Loma, I should say, that this is his biggest fight, and it is. But he's been on a big stage before. He defeated Jermell Herring and, you know, just did what he needed to do to take care of that. So that's one thing that I do like about him in this fight is that he's been on the big stage before. So that's not something that's going to scare him. Having that common knowledge of having fought him before in the National Golden Gloves Championship is great as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. But knockout. Come on, that's a bit hyperbole.
Yeah, you were excited you got it because that was my next question is what did you think about his statements about a knockout? But let's say, voice, it does happen. Let's say Ortiz goes in, he does work, puts hands on Lopez. What happens with Teofimo after that? Because, we've seen what happens when he spirals down before.
Yeah, I think it would lead to another spiral because, like with Kambosos, he's not supposed to lose this fight. And knockout? I mean, I don't know that Tao's even been knocked down. So that's a lot. And that would be something that really would cause you to sit back and reflect and see where to go. Now, he's talking about takeover promotions. Said not just promotions for sports. He said he want to get in MMA and all this other stuff. So he's got a lot of stuff that he wants to do, but much of that is dependent upon how he performs in the ring.
Definitely, definitely. Now it's a card that feels like it's filled with showmen, and another showman that we're going to be talking about now, Keyshawn Davis. Now, two things are guaranteed in a fight with Keyshawn Davis: speed and pre-fight fireworks. As he prepares for his bout against Jose Pedraza on the undercard of Lopez Ortiz, the fighter known as the businessman put on a show. Not only by confronting Lopez for previous statements, which was hilarious to hear. If you get a chance, make sure you look on social media for that. But he aggressively challenged Pedraza snubbing a handshake during the face-off, and then proclaiming loudly, "I'm ready for anyone, and I'm not here just to participate. I'm here to take over." Mm-hmm. Now, while remaining the showman, Davis has shown respect to Pedraza. You know, he stated, "That's Pedraza. He's coming to fight, and I've been watching him since I was 16 years old. He was a pro way before me, so I respect him. We shook hands at the end of the press conference. He knows I'm coming to fight, too. This is stuff that you all know. But like I said before, and I'm going to say it again, the fans are going to be the winners at the end of the night." He recently also stated, "I think it's just the opponent. He's a legit opponent for me. I can say my last opponent, which I believe was Nahir Albright, he said, you know, he could fight, but the accolades speak for themselves with Jose. I can say he's my first real legit opponent, and it's a challenge for me because this is the first." Now, you know, Davis is literally hoping that a win is going to propel him to a fight. You know, he feels like if he beats a former two-time champion, he might get a major fight. And one major fight that he's looking forward to is against the WBO junior lightweight title, a person who's been popular on the main card also, is Emmanuel Navarrete. Voice, what are your thoughts on Keyshawn's statements here, especially coming against a fighter who is decorated in gold and has been there before? And considering that many people felt like his last fight was not up to par, what do you think about this?
This is Keyshawn Davis. This is what he has done. This is who he has been ever since he started boxing professionally, got a couple bouts under his belt, no pun intended. He has been calling for the big fights, and his managers and handlers have been trying to bring him along slowly, you know. But in your 10th fight, you're fighting a former champion, a grizzled vet, someone who can do the thing. Not granted, he hasn't done much of the thing lately, being 2-2-1 in his last 5 fights, but he's a name, he's a strong name, and he's the right kind of test for this kind of fighter. If you can dispatch Pedraza, or, you know, at least look good against him, that's going to move you up in the ranks. That's going to get you more of the kind of fights that Keyshawn has been clamoring for a while. He's been like, "Give me Haney, give me Tank, give me Ryan, give me all these people." It's like, whoa, dude, you hadn't even had like 10 fights at that point. But this is what he's wanting. He wants the spotlight. He wants the big fights. And doing good work against a solid opponent like Pedraza is how you get there.
I mean, you make some great points, especially when you consider that, you know, Keyshawn has only fought professionally, what, 10 bouts? And the last one was a majority decision for him, but many felt that he did not look good. And when you look over at Pedraza, you know, his last 4 bouts has not been, you know, actually kind to him. I think he's, what, 1-2-1? Because one of those was actually a draw. Yeah, so he's coming in
2-2-1. He's 1-2, lost 2, and has a draw. And you're right. He's Keyshawn is not even that. I thought he was at 10. He's at 9 fights.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just one of those things. And, you know, 10 fights in, when you're going against a champion who's literally looking to make sure that that people respect him after his latest loss, I don't really think that's something that you should be looking forward to. Make it out of this fight first. We appreciate the pre-fight excitement, but we want to see what happens here, especially after his last outing, which he said to himself, he was not up to par in the manner that he wanted to. So that's going to be an awesome fight. Make sure that you all tune in. That's going to be Thursday. That's going to be Thursday also. That's going to be at the Michelob Arena. That's going to be on the undercard of that bout. So make sure that you all tune in, because I know the voice is going to have some amazing things to say, especially if the fireworks really do happen. Now, closing out your boxing weekend is the Voices marquee matchup. I'm always excited about this because this is our opportunity to get a chance to hear about fights that may not be as popular, but Voice always gives you a nugget here, a nugget there, and lets you know why this fight is always important. These are what I like to call the mixtape fights. Mm. You may not make the album, but that mixtape is going to burn. Voice, tell us why this week's Voice's marquee matchup is important.
This fight is important because it has the wow factor. And the wow factor being RoboCop Gregory Rodriguez. Win or loss, this man is never in a boring fight. The vast majority of his fights, especially in the UFC, have been stoppages. The man has 14 victories. Only two of them have gone to decision. He is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist. So you know how he gets down. If he stopped 12 of his fights, you know that he stops him by a knockout. I mean, which is crazy. He's a BJJ whiz, like still does grappling tournaments in between fights, but he's knocking everybody out for the most part. Got 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. So fighting against Tavares, someone who has a sturdy chin, someone who has been the ultimate gatekeeper. You know, he's the one that when Izzy got past, was like, okay, this dude is for real. You know, whenever this is the guy who, when Drakus Duplessis beat, was like, okay, he might have something here. So let RoboCop beat Brad Tavares. That moves him into a whole nother realm. For Tavares, since there's been so much change at the top of the 185 division, he's one of the few people that Drakus has had a decision against. The only other person Drakus had a decision against was in his victory for the belt, the split decision that he had with Sean Strickland. So let Tavares go on a little bit of a run. He could see himself in a title fight.
I mean, that's big. That's going to be that's going to actually be on the UFC Fight Night undercard for Hermanson and Piper. Also, was it UFC Fight Night 236? That's going to be live on ESPN Plus, coming from the UFC Apex. So make sure that you tune in. That's the Voices marquee matchup, and I guarantee you, when you watch it, you're going to understand why that's an important fight to watch. Because anytime Voice says is what it is, unless it's one of his Nigerian homies or someone from the St. Louis area, it's an even bigger fight. And I didn't hear that in either one of those, so that's going to be exciting. That is literally what we have this weekend. But Voice, I want to give you a couple last words so you can give us an idea of what else we should look forward to this weekend.
All right, speaking of two of the factors I cannot be unbiased. I can be unbiased, but I generally am not, and I admittedly am not, if they're Nigerian or if they're from St. Louis. Speaking of all that, on the last UFC card at the Apex, Charles Energy Johnson, the pride of St. Louis, the man that I interviewed in the octagon in his last LFA bout, won and won big, and made a call out for UFC 300. We'll see what happens with that, but I want to say salute to him on this card as well. On the card between Hermanson and Piper, you got another St. Louis, Michael Johnson, who I got a chance to talk to in Chicago at the last Bellator event. You know, grew up on the West Side just like me. You know, he's fighting Darius Flowers. You got Rodolfo Vieira and Armin Petrosian on the main card. We already talked about Tavares and Rodriguez. You got Dan 50K Ige and Andre Feely. And then you got the Joker, Jack Hermanson, fighting B. Joe Piper. That's why I don't know what Joe Piper's nickname is, but it's B. Joe Piper, because that's what Dana White said when he was on the Contender Series. Like, you want a contract? You want to come to the UFC? B. Joe Piper, because he brings it and is so exciting when he fights. So this fight card, I'm going to call it ninja-like, because this one could kind of sneak up on you and catch you out of nowhere. You know, not a lot of fanfare around this fight card, and understandably so. It's at the Apex. It's on ESPN Plus, not on ESPN proper. You know, so kind of flying under the radar, but a lot of sneaky fights that could turn out to be really good.
Definitely, definitely. And that nickname you're looking for is Body Bags. Joe Body Bags Piper. That's going to be amazing. We've actually talked about him previously on the main card when he was actually on the show previously. So that's going to be amazing to watch. Make sure you all tune in this weekend and follow The Voice on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at The Voice, for all those spicy takes or any kind of major updates that are going to be coming. And also, make sure you're following MTMV Sports. Like, why wouldn't you be? We have everything that you need, from basketball, boxing, music, football? I said football already. I mean, we got everything. And we have some amazing people who love sports just as much as you, the fans, do, because that's all we are. We're fans who are literally putting in those extra steps to bring you entertaining and informative news. Make sure that you follow us. If you are not subscribed, you can subscribe on all your favorite podcasts, so you can take us anywhere. If you can't see these handsome faces while you driving in the car, you at work, you can listen to The Voices. His name is The Voice, so this is what you want to do. So make sure that you follow us. Thank you all for tuning in. Every Tuesday night, 7:15, it's Smoke O'Clock. Voice, take us out.
Few final words to close us out. You talked about seeing our handsome faces. You can do that on Spotify. So we're looking to reach a certain point with subscribers there. So I'm asking you, please subscribe on Spotify. And then you can see the podcast. You can see it whenever you want to. Also, when it comes to the things that we're doing here at MTMV Sports, as well as with the main card, if you are a CHH artist, R&P artist, you know, any kind of upbeat gospel music, holler at your man, The Voice. We have ways of helping you. You can sponsor this show. You can sponsor different things in areas where your music is going to be heard. So not only will your music be heard, but we will encourage people to go out and stream and purchase your music and go to it. So get at your man, The Voice, so we can help you with getting some spotlight on your music and your music career.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you for that, Voice. And before we go out, I want to send condolences to the life of the amazing Carl Weathers. If you live under a rock, to me, is the greatest sports character of all time. Played Apollo Creed. He's done so many amazing things. That's Action Jackson.
Yes, sir.
So make sure that you hug your loved ones and appreciate people for what they are. Make sure you give everyone their flowers. Thank you all for tuning in. Voice, take us out, sir.
Also, while we're saying RIP to Kazuki, I'm not going to try your last name. Well, yes, I will. Anaguchi, Kazuki Anaguchi, who was on the last fight card of In a Way. He succumbed to injury suffered in the ring. We, definitely want to say condolences to his family, and condolences to anyone who is rooting for the team that's not going to win the Super Bowl. So, until next time, fight the good fight. What's good, everybody? It's your man, the myth, the legend, The Voice. Thanks so much for tuning into this show on MTMV Sports Network. For more exciting content just like this, subscribe, like, and share. Okay.